begins a new year. It's kind of interesting that having a New Year's Day on a Sunday, we don't have that often, but we think about beginning a new year, and we all hope and we all pray that it will go well with us, right? That it will go well with us and with our families and with our nation and with our church. And beloved, our scripture tells us today one of those things that we can be sure that we need to do so that it will go well with us, that we're going to be looking at. So let us look at God's commandments. Will you all please stand as we hear God's commands here in Exodus chapter 20? I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in the heavens above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and the fourth generations of all those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male or your female servants, or your cattle or your sojourners who stay with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and they stood at a distance. Let us pray. Father, now we thank you for all of your word. We thank you for your laws. And we pray now that you would bless us as we consider this portion of your word today. Please help us as we think about these things. Use it in our lives for whatever purpose you have for each one of us, for it might be different. So we ask for your blessing. Please bless the meditations of my heart as I seek to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Please be seated. It has always amazed me that God gave us his Ten Commandments in such short, concise sentences. You know, here is the basis of our lives and how we are to live as the children of the Almighty God, and yet God gives it to us in such a way that even a child can understand it, even a child can memorize them. The Ten Commandments are, I always like to say that each one of the Ten Commandments are like the tip of an iceberg. All you see out there in the ocean, of course, none of us have had this experience, probably, but all you see is the tip of an iceberg. But underneath that is a huge amount, a huge volume of things that are included within that iceberg, right? And that's how I see the Ten Commandments. What we read here in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 are just the tips of the iceberg, but then underneath each of these commands is a magnitude of other things that God shows us in Scripture. I think that God gives us his commands in these short sentences because he wants us to be able to remember them easily. You know, he intends us and our children to memorize them so that we will know how to pursue righteousness, right? His righteousness. And beloved, knowing his righteousness, we then can turn from temptation and we can turn to repentance. Knowing his righteousness convicts us of our sins, and it shows us our need to flee to Christ. All these things. Well, today I'm going to focus on just one of these commandments. It's the fifth commandment. You children, I want you to particularly listen and pay a lot of attention here today, as you should every Lord's Day. But this commandment speaks very much to you. The fifth commandment here is in Exodus 20 and verse 12. Look at it. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." This command gives us what we like to term the second table of the law. Remember when one of the Pharisees who was an expert in the law asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment?" Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Thou art to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul and thy mind and thy strength. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then he said, "And the second is like unto it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Well, beloved, it is the case that the first four commandments particularly teach us how we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength. Sometimes people will say, "Well, I love God." Well, there's an objective way to know, do you love God? Well, the first four commandments is how we love God. Okay, it's not just about having a feeling that, oh boy, do I feel close to God. No, it is taking some action. The first commandment teaches us who we are to worship. We are to worship God, Yahweh, Him alone, no other gods. We are to have no other gods before Him. The second commandment teaches us how we are to worship. We are to worship God only according to His word, doing those things in our worship that He has prescribed. We're not to make images of things that would portray Him or worship Him in some way that we have imagined. The third commandment teaches us the attitude that we are to have toward our God. We are not to take anything that is God's in vain. Not His words, not His works, not His commandments. Anything that it belongs to the Lord. And the fourth commandment teaches us that we are to keep one day out of the week holy unto the Lord. It is for our good, my friends, set apart for worship. And so we see that the first four commandments really do show us how it is that we are to love God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, and our strength. But now we come to what Jesus called the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this verse 12 here, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you, is the first commandment in that section. All theologians recognize this commandment to honor your father and your mother as the first command of what we call the second table of the law. The second table of the law has to do with our moral duty to others, to each other, to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbor, okay? And it brings and it begins with honoring our father and our mother. I found this presentation that you'll find on your sermon helps there. If you'll take out your sermon helps from the bulletin, isn't the internet wonderful? You can find pictures of all kinds of versions of the Ten Commandments or whatever. But I really like this one because, as I say, there's two tables of the law, and you can see the first four commandments are there in that first table of the law, and then the other six are in the second table of the law. The first table of the law, again, teaches us how we are to love God, and the second table of the law teaches us how we are to love our neighbor, one another, okay? The family is the fundamental building block of all society. This is what the scriptures teach us. This command informs us of one of the foundation stones that must be present in every family. Someone has to be the authority and lead the others, and the others have the responsibility to submit to that authority. Honoring and obeying parents is where good character begins in a child. If a child does not honor and obey their parents, that will determine how their character will be from that point on out. And listen, beloved, honoring and obeying parents is where learning to obey God begins as well. Matthew Henry said this, the little quote I have on your sermon helps. He said, "The fifth commandment lays the foundation of the sanctification of the whole social society, inasmuch as it teaches us to acknowledge a divine authority in the same way." So we learn how to obey God as we learn how to obey our mothers and fathers, all right? So this is where a character that loves your fellow man begins, and this is where a character that loves God begins. Now, there are two senses in which we're going to examine this command to honor your father and your mother. There is the specific, and then there is the general sense. The first sense is that God is speaking specifically about children honoring their immediate parents. Children, listen. God says, honor your father and your mother, to honor them. So what is honor? Well, honor is a word that includes several things. First of all, let's get it clear that honor is an attitude in our hearts. I really think that that's the best way I can define honor. It's an attitude, right? You honor your mother and your father by obeying them cheerfully and with full cooperation. Obedience is the action, doing what you are told to do. Obeying is the action, right? But honor is the attitude in which you obey. Some of you heard that saying, I'm going to sit down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Y'all have probably heard that somewhere along the line. You probably heard me say it after all the years I've been preaching here. But at any rate, that idea of, you know, I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. Well, that's not honoring, is it? Because it's the attitude of the heart. See, our outward actions are not enough. God is saying your attitude must be right as well. The attitude in which you obey your mothers and your fathers. Do you realize that obedience that is done out of defiance is not honoring, okay? Or obedience that is done out of fear does not qualify for honoring your mother and your father. So, first of all, honor means to respect. Think about that word. To respect means to recognize another person's authority. That's how you respect. You respect them because you recognize an authority over you, and you put yourself under that authority, right? We have some military men here who learned how to do that very well, didn't you? Children, God has given your parents the authority and the responsibility over you. To honor them means that you put yourself under that authority. You submit to that authority, and you do it willingly, and you do it with a good attitude, okay? And you know what? This is not just for little kids. I was able to go and be with my father this last week, and maybe that's part of what got me thinking about this passage here. But he's 93, and I still want to honor him with everything I can, in every way I can. And so, children, you're honoring your mothers and your fathers now, and you're going to continue to honor them, maybe in a little different way, you know, later on, but you will still honor them. Honor means to esteem your parents highly. Now, the word esteem means to see them as very important, to esteem, to think of them very highly, okay? Honor means to obey your parents, okay? So it means, first of all, to respect them, to esteem them, but then down and down to obey them, right? I like the way that R.C. Sproul Jr. put this in a study that we did years ago, and I have this quote for you there on the sermon helps. He said, Children, you are to obey your parents in everything, as long as they are not commanding you to do what God forbids or forbidding you to do what God commands. That's a pretty good rule of thumb, isn't it? We see God's command to do this in Ephesians 6. And so you'll need to turn back in your Bible. I didn't get Ephesians on the sermon helps here today. But if you'll turn back to Ephesians, and we heard this read just a little bit ago, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 6. Listen, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. But now, the Apostle Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments. He says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And seeing this command reiterated in the New Testament shows us that it's just as much for us today as it was for the Israelites, what, 3,500 years ago when the law was given. It's just as much for you children today. And what do you obey? Well, you obey the words. When they give you a command to do something, you obey it. You obey their will. In other words, what they would have you to do. Sometimes you know what your mother or father would like you to be doing. They don't have to tell you. You still do what you know will honor them, right? So you obey their will, what they would have you to do, unspoken. You obey their convictions. They have convictions that are important. Worshiping the Lord every Lord's Day, keeping the Lord's commandment, those are their convictions. And you also obey those convictions and their expectations. And you know, I always like to say that children need to realize it's not just when your mom and dad are standing over your shoulder that you're going to do those things, but when they're not standing over your shoulder, you're still obeying their will, their words, their commands, okay? All of these things, their expectations. To honor your father and mother means that you obey them in love and out of a spirit of love. And that is so important. When they rebuke you, you listen. When they correct you, you give heed to their instructions of how to live, and you take their instructions and you love them. Okay? Listen to these scriptures that help us understand what it means to honor parents. Again, return to your sermon helps there. And you see Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. See, God tells young people, children, listen to your fathers, listen to your mothers. And in Proverbs 6:20 also, keep your father's commands, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. We find many proverbs along that line, don't we? Now, the second sense in which we are to take this command is in the general sense, wherein we are to honor all the authorities that God has placed over us. The first authority in our lives, when we begin lives, of course, is our fathers and our mothers, and this is why it is so important that we learn to honor our father and mother at home. But then, now, for the rest of our lives, we are called to honor those authorities that God also has placed over us. Remember, if there is someone who has authority over you, a boss, maybe, say, government officials, if there is someone who has authority over you, they have that authority because God gave it to them. All authority comes from God, beloved, which means those who are in a position of authority have God's authority. Sometimes we don't like that. Sometimes we don't think they're worthy of that. But this is what the scriptures teach us. And so we have to honor, okay? We have to honor that. See, beloved, this command is not just about obey. This command that we have in the Ten Commandments to honor your father and your mother is not just your biological father and your mother. We see that teachers are called your father at times in Scripture. Look with me at 2 Kings. You have your sermon helps there. Here's an example. When it came about, as they were going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. And also verse 13 and 14, look, chapter 13, 14, when Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. So we see here examples where Elisha called Elijah his father and King Joash called Elijah his father. Okay? And so it is the case that teachers are sometimes called a father. Look with me at Genesis 45, there in the inside of your sermon help. Then Joseph said to his brothers, remember this incident? Please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh. Isn't that interesting that Joseph would say he is a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt? Here we see that our spiritual, he was a spiritual advisor to him, wasn't he? And Joseph was Pharaoh's advisor, which he called him his father. Another example is Deborah called herself a mother of Israel. Look at Judges 5:7. The pleasantry ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose a mother of Israel. So she had authority, and she was considered a mother, right? The reformers in the 1600s saw this commandment as definitely speaking of honoring our fathers and mothers in the broader sense of the word, okay? This means all of you who are not children here can't say, oh, this sermon's just for the kids. Okay. This, it means the broader sense. Because look how at question 64 from our Westminster Confession of Faith. What is required in the fifth commandment? Will you all read it with me? The fifth commandment requireth the preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations, as superiors, inferiors, or equals. So this fifth commandment requires that we preserve the honor and perform the duties for everyone, whether they are, as it says, our superior, okay, we know what that would mean, like a boss, or our inferior, maybe if you have someone working for you, all right, or our equal, someone who is an employee like you are an employee. We are to preserve the honor and perform the duties belonging to all those. And then what is forbidden? Okay, we looked at what is required, but now what is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belong to anyone in their several places and relations. So this commandment not only requires that we give honor to those, to people in all stations of life, but also it forbids us from neglecting to honor or the duty that we owe to those that are our fathers or our mothers. Our society could not exist in a civilized way. You can't have civilization if you do not honor and respect all people, my friends, whether they are superiors or inferiors or equals. Okay? Look with me at Romans 13:1. See it there? Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. See, God is the one who has established all authority. Again, whether we think they are worthy of it, whether we think that we should obey it or not, beloved, God is telling us that we must honor here the governing authorities, right? In this case, they are our superiors. Look again at Ephesians 6. Maybe you're still in Ephesians 6. And look what it says here in verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And a little bit further, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So there is an example of slaves being told to honor their masters, okay, and to do it as unto the Lord. Children, when you obey your parents, you need to do it as unto the Lord. You are obeying the Lord because they are the authority that God has placed in your home. And then look at verse 9 of chapter 6. Not only did he say, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, but then he said this to the masters, and masters, do the same thing to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So God's word tells masters to treat their slaves with respect and honor. Again, the superiors, inferiors, or equals, to honor all, right? In a sense, the slaves were the slaves, slave owners' inferiors there, but the slave owners were to give them honor. But back in Ephesians 5:21, we read this, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We are all to be subject to one another, as it says here, beloved. Here we see that we are to honor all men. We are to submit to each other, you see. Look with me again at your sermon helps at Romans 12, verse 10. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. You see how that is so similar to what it said in verse 21 of Ephesians 6. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So you see, this fifth commandment truly is establishing how it is that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Remember I said that's what this begins, that second table of the law, how we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to honor all men, whether they are our superiors or our equals or our inferiors. And we are going to realize in life, beloved, that we have many fathers and many mothers. Really, again, all those who are in a position of authority or leadership, be that leadership and authority civil, the government, or military, you know, as we mentioned earlier, or the family. The family has the authority figures. Or in the church, they are our fathers and our mothers. So all of our lives, beloved, we are going to have many fathers and mothers. And we are to apply this commandment to them. The relationship between a soldier and his officer grows out of this, doesn't it? You couldn't have a military if you didn't have honor of those who are in authority. The relationship between an employee and an employer grows out of this, right? And the relationship between the members of the church and the officers of the church grows out of this. All those relationships begin with a child, though, doesn't it? It begins with a child being taught and learning to obey their father and their mother. They learn it there, and then they will transfer that as they come under many fathers and mothers. So this is the first thing that we need to do, to strive to love our neighbor as ourselves. We show honor, beloved. We show respect to all people in all spheres of life. Every person is to give that honor and obedience to every other person that is due them. I think maybe Romans 13, 7 through 8 kind of summarizes it. Look here. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Think of Jesus. Who did Jesus honor? He honored his parents, didn't he, as a child? He honored his heavenly Father, God his Father. Oh my goodness, he loved his Father. He did everything his Father commanded him. And then he also honored his disciples, didn't he? Remember, he served his disciples. Remember as Jesus washed their feet, just as a picture of his serving them? And beloved, he serves us too. Our Lord Jesus serves us. Remember Matthew 20 and verse 28? You see it there? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And how did he serve us? To give his life as a ransom. That's how he served us. The ultimate service, wasn't it? And so our Lord Jesus Christ honored us in such a way. And Jesus honored the governing authorities, you know, in his day too. Jesus said to his disciples, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's and pay to God what is God's. He honored that. Remember the Apostle Paul honored the Jewish high priest, even when the Jewish high priest had him be struck in the mouth. And remember Paul not realizing that it was the high priest who did this. He said to the high priest, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit to try me according to the law in violation of the law, and you order me to be struck? But then when he realized that he was speaking to the high priest, he honored him. And he said in Acts 23, verse 5, I was not aware, brethren, that he was high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. So Paul honored the authorities, is what I'm showing you, that God had placed in a position of authority over him. Now, let's get back to our text in Exodus here for a few moments. And if you're back there to Exodus, and again, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Here we see, beloved, that this command contains this wonderful promise. Do this that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Again, I think there's two ways that we can take this promise. First of all, I believe God is speaking of the Israelites who were his visible covenant people on the earth. They were the church of the day, right, in that day. And God's giving them the promise that as long as they would honor their fathers and their mothers, which started at home, and then extended to Moses and Aaron and the prophets and eventually to the elders, to the kings that God would allow to be raised up. As long as they would honor their mothers and their fathers, my friends, they would live long in the land that God had given them, that being the land of Canaan. Look with me at your sermon help at Deuteronomy 6 and beginning in verse 1. This, in Deuteronomy, we also have the Ten Commandments. We have them in Exodus 20, but also in Deuteronomy. And these are the words that precede the giving of the law in the book of Deuteronomy. Most of you know the word Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. Okay? That comes from the word Deuteronomy. But at any rate, it says this, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. God is promising his blessing as they would honor their father and mother, their fathers and mothers, if we might say it that way. Well, beloved, here in Exodus, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord has given you. Here God gives us the promise that this would prolong our days. This would prolong the Israelites' days. And I believe it's the case that if the Israelites had have obeyed their fathers and their mothers and Moses and then the prophets who came along and warned them and taught them, and if they would have listened to John, the last prophet, before Christ came, and then they would have believed the words of Jesus, the Son of God, my friends, then they, I believe, would still have all of that promised land that God originally gave to them. I believe that's the case. If they had have done that, they would have enjoyed the promises of Deuteronomy 28. You all know the promises, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the county. Just Deuteronomy 28 has all these blessings, but what also does Deuteronomy have in it, 28? The curses as well. If you do not do these things will all be taken away from you. And it was the case for the Israelites that they did not live long in the land that the Lord had God, and it did not go well with them if they did not obey their fathers and mothers. The second way of taking this promise is to say that it is speaking of a long personal life. Again, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land. So it's not just living in the land that God had given them, but a long personal life. Can we deduct that from this scripture? Paul seems to indicate this in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. I do have that on your sermon helps there, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." So now he really specifies that, doesn't he? That you might live long on the earth. Many people see this promise and they cannot understand why this doesn't happen in all situations. We see many disobedient children who live longer than obedient children. And we ask why? How did that happen? The scripture is right and it says here that you may live long in the land. When I think about that, I always think of my own mother. My mother died at the age of 47, and I was 24 when she died, and I cannot think of a person who honored her mother and father more than my mother did. I mean, she was always helping them, caring for them, taking care of them, and all of those things. Fortunately, I had been in the Reformed Church for a long time when she did pass away, and I understood that God was sovereign over all things and that whatever God does was right. I knew that in my heart, and I understood that my mother's dying was somehow or another for the glory of God, and I trusted in the goodness of God in that his taking was for a reason. I trusted in that promise in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And I know many of you have lost loved ones, and we have to hold on to that promise that God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his promise. So whether a person keeps this command and they honor their father and their mother or not, is not the only thing that determines how long God's going to allow us to live in this land, if we're going to have a long life. That's not the only thing, beloved. I think question 66 of our confession is helpful here. Would you help me with it? What is the reason annexed? The word annexed means, why is this commandment, why is it that we have this fifth commandment? And so the answer is, the reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep this commandment. So that's the important thing to keep in mind, isn't it? As long as it serves for God's glory. We want our lives to glorify God. And if that means that we live till we're 93, may God be glorified. If that means that He takes us at, you know, at some other point in our lives, at whatever point in our lives, is He in control? You know, we talked about that at the beginning of our service, didn't we? How the providence of God means that He is in control of everything and has a purpose for everything and does everything for that purpose that He has established. And so, beloved, we trust in Him, don't we, for that. In my mother's case, just as an example, it glorified God to take her out of this world at an early age rather than at a later time, you know? And at the same time, to take her out of this world when He did served for her good in some way or another. I don't know what that was. And also, I've realized over the years, it served for the good of all the other members of the family too, according to God's purpose, perfect purpose, you know? I believe that. And God, I think, has used that in my life. And so according to Romans 8:28, God used it for the good of everyone who love Him and walk according to His ways. Obeying your father and mother, beloved, is not a guarantee that you're going to live a long, prosperous life, though it is a promise of God which you can count on unless God's glory and your good is not. God doesn't allow it for that purpose, for His glory and your good. But we also know that if you do not keep this commandment to honor your father and mother, then you will be placing yourself in harm's way, right? Disobedience to godly parents is going to lead to a lot of sin. Your mom and dad, being godly parents, they are going to be requiring things of you that they know are good for you, that you need to do, okay? But disobeying them will lead to a lot of sin. Not obeying your mother and father usually leads to many terrible things that people end up doing to their own bodies, you know? Things that can definitely shorten one's life, you think about it. When a Christian parent warns his child not to play in the street, well, if a child plays in the street and it's a busy street, that's not going to lend to shortening one's life, is it? If a parent, Christian parent, you know, warns their child against smoking or addiction to alcohol or use of illegal drugs or sexual promiscuity, and they warn them and they train them not to do those things, they're trying to protect their child. And if a child violates their parents' teaching, then they will very possibly not live long on the earth. And though you will see many disobedient children in this world live long lives, and that will be the case, if they live in sin, I can guarantee you it is not going well for them. It was not going well with them. They will never know the peace and the joy and the satisfaction of being God's child, knowing God as our Father. They will never know contentment. And they will never know assurance of salvation and peace with God. It does not go well with them. And so it will also be that they will live forever in bondage to sin. And now, parents, in this commandment, you know what? This commandment sounds like it's just speaking to children, but it's actually speaking to parents. honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. This commandment here presupposes something, mothers and fathers. It presupposes that you, as the fathers and mothers, are teaching and directing and disciplining your children. It presupposes that fathers and mothers are governing and training their children. This command gives you, parents, the mandate to train your children. They are to obey, but this gives you the mandate to teach them and to train them up. Children are naturally foolish, and they need to be taught God's laws, don't they? They need to be taught God's ways. You see that last scripture verse I have for you on your sermon helps there. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And that's the case, isn't it? It is always going to be the case. And children are naturally ignorant of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and sound doctrine, and they need to be taught, and they need to learn what is sin. Well, how do we know what sin is? God's Word teaches us that. The commandments, the Ten Commandments, teach us that. And children need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So parents, beloved, there are here in this commandment given the command to train up your children, to discipline your children. Parents are given the authority to do this in this commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Okay? And so this commandment is talking not just to children, but also to parents here. This fifth commandment commands parents to do what parents are supposed to do, to love and to guide and to direct and to train up their children in the ways of the Lord. It's an amazing thing that this is such a short command. This command takes up 22 words out of the whole of the Bible. But as we have seen, as long as it is for God's glory and purpose, the future of an individual, of how life is going to go for them, and the future of everything is determined by whether or not we honor our fathers and our mothers here. And so, beloved, it will either go well with us or it will not go well with us. You children, remember that. And the same thing will be true for each of us. As long as we honor our biological father and mother, and also the fathers and mothers that God has put as authorities over us in this world, if we will do this, we too can expect a long life, at least until that day that the Lord takes us home. So, beloved, let us each examine ourselves and see if we are doing this, both in the specific as well as the general sense. Again, let us remember that this is where loving our neighbor as we love ourselves begins, with honoring our mothers and fathers. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you teach us, that you are our Heavenly Father. You give us the privilege of calling you that. You tell us as we pray to you as our Father in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that you train us up and you discipline us and you show us the right way to go. And you are that great example of fathers and mothers and how we are to honor all people as well. So, dear Lord, we pray that you will help us as we go into this new year. Help us to do these things as your commandments have given us that guidance to do, so that we might live good lives, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, and continue to glorify you with all of our lives. Bless our children in this. Bless each one of us in the ways we are to do these things. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.